The following program contains material not suitable for children, adults, or childish adults.
Are you ready?
Pretend you like it, no matter how bad it stinks.
Let's get ready to rumble!
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN. Sports Saturday is powered in part by Bagels Plus. With over 18 different varieties of bagels, come in today for fresh and hot homemade goodness. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs, from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. Aches Place, 134 Church Street, Burlington. And now, it's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
We are living the dream and taking you with us. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 1013ESPN.com. I'm back in the chair this week. Great. I'm your host, Jeff Paul. Great. Come on,
I'm happy to see you, but the timing, it just could not be any worse. But welcome back, man.
Thanks, Bernie. Bernie Siplicki in the other big chair over here. Bernie held it down along with our good friend J-Dub.
No.
Come on,
please don't call him that.
Why? It's a great
awful.
Name.
It's awful.
It's not awful.
It's worse.
It's not awful.
It's worse than the viewership I had of the Yankees game last night, but we'll get into that in a second.
First of all, I think if you have the opportunity, if you have a name that allows you to have a cool name like J-Dub, you do it. And that's why I have coined as J-Dub.
That is not cool, but anyways, let's
well, anyway,
move on.
I think it is. Okay. It is. And thank you for welcoming me back. Dave, well done on the Sports Center. Again, I'm going to correct you again because I'm sure that you probably missed me correcting you with the Sports Center while I was out for 2 weeks, but it's the Boogie Down. It's not from Boogie Down. I mean, I don't know what from Boogie Down is. It's from the Boogie Down. See, that's the thing. You got to premise these big home runs with the Boogie Down.
But Jeff, just for the
boogie
record,
down.
Yeah.
The 2 weeks you were out,
yeah.
That'd be four Sports Centers that need to be done.
Right.
Your boy and
J Dub
did three of them.
Did he?
And Dave only did one.
Really?
Yes.
Well, what's up with that?
Well, I don't have to work so hard when you're not here.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's like the substitute teacher's in, and he's right. Like, oh, I'm not doing the work.
That's right. 655-6672, 802-655-6672. If you want to join the conversation, remember, we have our Town Fair Tire text line. You can text us now at 802-655-6672. And if you do decide to text us this morning, please tell us where you're from and your name so we can give you a shout out on the radio.
Sure.
You know what I mean? We got to do that stuff.
Yeah.
What a show we have today, Bernie.
It's going to be a great show.
It is going to be a big show. It's going to be a big show. I'm excited about this show. Listen to this guest list. I almost went Facebook Live this morning, but I decided against it.
Whoa.
I just realized when you
at least tell me that so I could have shaved.
Well, no, I wasn't going to put you on. I know
okay.
you're not into that.
No.
But you know, I was going to go full Brady Farkas this morning, and I was going to Facebook Live. You know, he Facebooks Live before their show during the week. I was going to do it this morning, and then I put it on myself this morning. I said, wow. You are not a good-looking guy. And I thought nobody should first thing in the morning, besides my wife, should see my face up and close first thing. You don't want to see that. So I decided I'm going to back off that this morning. You know what I mean?
If you put on a Yankee hat, you kind of look like Joe Girardi.
I appreciate that. Joe Girardi's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, well.
But I am not
the catcher,
the good-looking guy. You know what I mean?
And already we got a nice text message.
We did?
Yes.
What do we got?
From Dave in Colchester. As we welcome back Jeff, we welcome back the Yankees to first place in the AL East standings.
Oh, we love that. We love
that.
Go Yankees. We love
that's
that great stuff. All right, let's go through this yep. show lineup we have today. Tara Sullivan, Yankee beat writer and Giant beat writer from the Bergen Record.
We'll talk Giants 10:20.
We're going to talk some Yankees and Giants.
No.
Dan Shaughnessy, now listen, and I want to get into this. Dan Shaughnessy joins us at 10:40. And I'm sure that Rich and Brady, or not Rich is out, but Brady and Arnie have been talking about this all week. Interesting article that came out Monday written by Dan Shaughnessy in the Boston Globe about a problem, obviously, in the airplane between Dennis Eckersley, who is commentating for the Red Sox on Nesson, and David Price. They had kind of had a confrontation. Big story on that. We're going to talk to Dan Shaughnessy about that and a lot of things that are going on in Boston right now. Dustin Pedroia last night had some interesting comments, I thought, before the game. David Price goes on the DL, the 10-day DL. There are people out there I think, including you, that may think, maybe David Price is kind of taking this home standoff because obviously there's been such support for Dennis Eckersley. But it'll be an interesting conversation with Dan Shaughnessy. At 11 o'clock, we talk with two-time Super Bowl champion, former Giant linebacker Carl Banks, joins the show at 11 o'clock this morning. Look about this. Now, Carl Banks, one of my favorites of all time, no questions asked. I mean, probably yours as well. We grew up with Carl Banks.
Yes.
I got a great story about Carl Banks. We'll get to that at 11 o'clock. We're going to talk New York Giants. There's a lot of talk at Giant Camp. People expect this team to be very successful, potential Super Bowl, and the Giants are talking a lot. Odell Beckham Jr. is talking a lot. I'm excited about the expectation.
Anything.
I know. Makes me really nervous. We're going to talk to Carl Banks about that. And then finally today, a really interesting interview at 11:40. My good buddy, he's a special educator from St. Albans at BFA. Dan McAndrews is going to join us. We're going to talk about unified sports. Are you familiar with what unified sports is?
I am, yes.
It is. It's amazing organization. It's amazing programs that they have. And their organizations run them. Schools run them for special needs children. And it's gotten really big. I know that my soccer team is going to be a part of a soccer program, a unified soccer program this year to work with some special needs kids. So we're really excited about talking to Dan. He's going to come in studio. He's too nervous to do it over the phone. So the big man's going to come in. I went to college with Dan. So now I can, you know, now we can probably jab Dan a little bit, you know.
I want stories.
Yeah, we got plenty of those. So anyway, what a show we have. But let's start off right now. I want to talk a little bit about this Red Sox thing.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We're going to get into this Red Sox thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing how winning cures all.
Sure.
But that's besides the point.
Right.
But, you know, last night could not have been any worse for me.
Okay.
Well, let's be realistic.
Okay.
You know? I'm hanging out. I'm watching the Yankee game.
Yeah.
And I got to watch it on the YES Network because I'm watching it at my friend's house, who is a Yankee fan. Love the guy.
Little
wonderful.
Michael Kay and Paul O'Neill.
Oh, it's terrible. Just awful.
Not as bad as John. Come on now. Johnny Gomes last night in the Nesson booth.
Well, that'll we'll get to that.
Holy. I don't know if I mean. Oh, my.
Because, OK, so I'm watching at this guy's house and he does, you know, he's got like that little stick. You know, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago.
Little what?
David, to get like the internet connection.
Oh yeah, I've heard about those things. Okay, yeah, it's way over my head, but okay,
right?
Yeah.
So we get the YES Network, and Judge comes up.
Yeah,
and you know he just lets it go.
Here's the 1-2. Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
It's wonderful. So that's what happened. Because we're sitting there watching.
Yeah.
He connects, and what do we get? Pause.
Oh, no.
Little circle up top.
That's a problem.
Buffering. Exactly. And then what do we see? Judge at second base.
Trotting around.
Yeah. It's just unbelievable. So we got that.
Well, for you, that must have been something. At least you didn't have to watch him hit the home run.
No,
as a Red Sox fan, you don't want to watch that.
Yeah, but come on. Anytime you see Judge,
you
got to appreciate that.
I agree.
So now we see that the inning ends and we got to flip over and we got to go to the Kansas City Royals network and we see.
Well, you can't watch Nesson?
No, he doesn't get Nesson. And if we do, it's like.
But does he get this? So this is the problem I have as a Yankee fan living in this part of the country. When the Yankees play the Red Sox, I can't watch the Yankees on YES. I got to watch him on Nesson. He doesn't have that problem. I got to get myself one of those sticks.
So. Yeah, I don't know.
No,
I don't worry about that.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. That's a conversation I have to have.
Right. And so now we go to the Kansas City Network, and, you know, how do you announce it? He hit his 30th home run.
Moustakas.
That was a bomb, Moustakas.
Kid's a beast.
You know, of course.
Yeah.
That's clear as can be.
Clear as
crystal
day.
Clear right around Pesky's full 4-0. You know, then the whole night was a debacle. So
I'm sorry.
I'm really grumpy today.
Well, when are you not grumpy? I mean, there's always something
that
makes you
grumpy.
This
is another level of grumpiness.
Well, I'm glad. You're
glad I'm grumpy.
Well, I am. I figured you were grumpy. You know, the fact that I didn't get any text message from you last night, usually I get like the pre-show text, something. You give me some type of jab. I got nothing last night. So I know, this is going to be a good show.
Bitter, grumpy,
angry,
hostile.
I'm getting used to it because soccer season's coming. So I'll get the pause. You know, I talk about that often, the pause I get when I call.
What, Jeff?
Yeah, there you go. No, there's more sigh for. There's like,
yes, Jeff.
Yeah, I get that. And I go, then I go, oh God, I don't even want to ask the question.
I'm going to try to change this year. I'm going to try to be a little better.
Yeah, okay, we'll see.
I sent Bernie the text yesterday. The standings in the American League.
He sent
East
me the standings. He sends me the car mirror with objects closer than they appear, and it's got the Yankees logo.
Actually, that's the Red Sox.
We're not in that mirror anymore.
The Red Sox.
Thanks. And the worst thing is, if Dade had any courage last week, as I'm walking out the door, he goes, "Bet you next week, Red Sox are in second place. Yankees are in first."
He did,
but then he goes, maybe 2 weeks.
I did.
Stick with your gut. Stick with your gut.
I should stick with my gut.
Yeah. Well, that's that. Well, again,
what have you been doing for 2 weeks? Nothing.
Oh, yeah, what, 2 weeks
hanging out.
Had great 2 weeks. Got to coach an amazing group of girls. I got to coach the Vermont Lions Cup team. We won 5-0 against New Hampshire. Incredible game. Actually, though, that team broke a record for the biggest win in Vermont history in that game. So we're very proud of that. Girls were awesome. I'll tell you what, you put yourself in a position around those kind of athletes, it makes life really easy. It has nothing to do with the coaching. It was more about those girls playing well together and getting it done. It was a lot of fun. And last weekend, I was able to go to a couple really good friends' their beautiful wedding in Maine on top of a mountain burn. I got up the chairlift. Beautiful wedding. Did a lot of dancing. I was spoiled. I was sweating.
On top of the chairlift?
No, you go to the top of the mountain on the chairlift.
Yeah, but you were in dress clothes.
Yeah, I was, but it was okay. It was nice. And I'm telling you, it was like...
What about all the girls in the dresses?
Yeah, they were fine.
They were?
Yeah, everything was good. Okay. I mean, yeah, it was beautiful. Well, they had gondolas, too, so you could choose a gondola or a chair. I wanted to do the chairlift because I wanted to be outside. You know, I wanted to be... It was interesting.
Up and down?
Up and down. Dark going down.
I was
going
to say
going
that,
up.
That had to be scary coming down in the chairlift.
No, it was great. It was actually, you know what? On the way down, I think we took a...
you don't
a,
remember.
No, I remember.
No, you don't.
We took the gondola down. I remember. I do remember.
That's...
But I'll tell you, we did.
That's because Monica just texted
you. Yeah, she said you did, moron.
No.
I'm not like that. I don't do that kind of stuff. I'm not into that kind of stuff. I was dancing. I was a dancing machine at this wedding, Bernie. I didn't realize how bad a dancer I really was, but you never know it when, you know, you dance around. But I had great 2 weeks. It was really, really fun.
You're a better dancer than you are a singer?
Much better dancer than I am a singer. Even though I find that I think I'm a decent singer until I really hear myself sing. And that may be the way it is for my dancing. You have to ask people that know me in terms of that. I probably... But I do feel like I can bust a move a little bit.
Can you sing
but
bust a
move? But my back hurt the next day.
Can you sing bust a move?
If I had the lyrics in front of me, I absolutely could. Can you?
This is doable. I can get you the lyrics
no, we're not
if you'd like
do
to.
That. Nobody wants to
we
hear that.
We have a good show. Let's not ruin it already.
Well, listen, we have to go to break soon, and I want to get this. Like, Dustin Pedroia comes out last night. And don't roll your eyes at me, because I think this is pertinent. This is a pertinent conversation.
Not right now.
It completely is a pertinent conversation.
Winning cares all. Win a game,
and you're probably
matter.
Right. You're probably right. But Dustin, but this, it's not even about winning or losing. It's about this whole...
If they're winning, there's not this problem.
Yes, there is.
If David Price is pitching well, he doesn't get into a fight with Eckersley.
The fight wasn't about that, though. The fight wasn't about his pitching. It was about Dennis Eckersley's comment about Rodriguez's rehab start when he used the word yuck. That's what started the whole thing.
Yeah.
And like Jackie Bradley Jr. taking the picture with Eckersley outside the plane and tweeting. You know, I mean, but, and again. And
that was kind of funny.
I don't know. Is it funny or does it show a lack of like toughness, mental toughness out of the Red Sox? And I mean, before I want, because we have so many guests, I want to get into this. Dustin Pedroia comes out and in so many words basically says, I'm the leader here. You're looking for a leader. Look at me. But are you the leader, Dustin Pedroia? Is he the leader? I mean,
he needed to speak up.
But you speak up is fine. But is he that guy?
Is he the man?
He has to be.
But this is the same Dustin Pedroia that publicly embarrassed his whole team after the whole Manny Machado incident. If you don't remember, you remember Dustin Pedroia in the dugout yelling to Manny Machado in the on-deck circle and saying, that's not me, that's them. That's not me wanting you to get hit, that's them. That's not a leader. Now, if Dustin Pedroia wants to have that conversation with Manny Machado on a private level, fine, but you don't do that. And where is the outcry immediately? Like, the Red Sox leader was David Ortiz. And I know as a Red Sox fan, and I know you are, you love Dustin Pedroia. I respect Dustin Pedroia. How can you not like a guy like Dustin Pedroia? But I don't think Dustin Pedroia wants to be the leader of the Red Sox.
So let me ask you or agree with you, which I hate to do.
Sure.
The two things that the Red Sox are missing, a power bat and a voice. Who was that?
It was David Ortiz.
Exactly.
I agree with that.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And that's what I agree. Right.
Yes. And that's where... That's where these young guys aren't ready. They're not hitting well.
They're not ready to be leaders. They're not ready to be leaders.
And Pedroia, his timing is interesting, but he has to change his ways of leadership. The way he said he made up with Eckersley, Machado, I think we got to bury that and move on because that wasn't right. And again, winning cures all.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the Red Sox have a lot of questions to
sell.
Answer.
Got
to
sell.
Oh, they're be
done.
Quiet.
They're done.
You know, I hope you're right.
Other than Sale.
I mean, they're done. They're not done.
Other than Sale and Kimbrel and maybe Pedroia at second, what Yankee wouldn't you – you would have every Yankee on the field minus those three guys?
What do I got? I got 40 seconds to make that decision.
That's why I did it now.
We'd have to go through that. All right, I know, Dave, okay. The music means I got to take a break. So when we take it, we're going to take a quick
break.
All
the clock means you got to take a break.
Well, and the music you're playing, that's my hint. I know how you roll.
All right, baby.
All right, take a quick break. When we come back, we're talking New York Yankee baseball. We're talking football. New York Yankees with our good buddy Tara Sullivan for the Bergen Record. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki.
Party all the time, party all the time.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Here comes the Yankees.
We're back here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com.
Jeff, will you tell Dave to stop smiling? He's having way too much fun at my expense today.
Listen.
You two guys are ganging up on
What's
me.
What's the matter, Bernie?
Who's ganging up? See, this is the difference between me and you and Dave.
What?
Is that I don't gang up. I do unto others as I'd want done unto me. If you notice, that's how I handle myself. Okay? And maybe you two could take some, a little bit of, you know, take a look over here.
Somebody got his feelings hurt.
Anyway, on the TikTok Jewelers guest line, our good friend joins us from the Bergen Record, Tara Sullivan. Good morning, Tara.
Good morning. Who's picking on you? Do I have to come up there?
Well, they're picking on me, Tara. Yeah, but here's the problem with this, Tara, that normally it's me that gets picked on this show, okay? And you know,
because he's bald.
Be quiet. And you're old. How's that? Okay, so Bernie is a big Sox fan, and Dave and I are big Yankee fans. So this has been a fun morning for us, and you know, it's a. But I think Bernie's just got he's a little.
I'm very sensitive today, Tara. So please be nice to me.
You might as well enjoy it because you never know. Standings change awfully quickly. You know how that goes.
They absolutely do. They absolutely
you got to enjoy them when you get your moment in the. You get your few hours to enjoy it.
My only saving grace is, I'm a Giants fan, but I was told that we have to talk Yankees first. So
yeah, we'll start with the Yanks. We'll sprinkle some Giants. That's a plan
with you.
All right, so let's go into the Yanks real quick. Times have changed here. Not in just a couple weeks, the Yankees go from being a team that looked like it was, you know, they were the nice little story early in the season, and now all of a sudden they've won five straight games and they're in first place. I mean, has it really been the trade, you know, bringing in those two relief pitchers and bringing in Frazier that's really been the difference for this team?
Well, I don't know if it's just that. I mean, I think that underscored their commitment, you know, and belief that they're a legitimate contender, but I think they just went through a kind of a lull, and I have to give them credit, Girardi and, you know, right on down, that they, you know, continued to believe that it wasn't a fluke, if you will, or it wasn't just a nice little story, you know. The young guys, it makes a big difference. They have such a young, optimistic, energetic clubhouse. Those guys just don't get down. So, I mean, I think that's a little important kind of a dynamic that maybe in years past with some of those great Yankee teams, later on, you know, we didn't see that as much. But the youth is definitely carrying the day.
You know, Tara, Tanaka last night, unbelievable. And it seems like a switch has clicked on since that start with Yu Darvish, you know, a few starts ago. And since then, he's been unbelievable. What's changed?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you from a pitching perspective what has changed other than it has, which is really what matters. It's not as if you didn't think this guy had, you know, ace potential. I mean, that's what he's supposed to be. You know, sometimes good pitching begets good pitching, and I think the emergence of Severino probably inspires, you know, everybody on the staff as well. So I often wonder if that's part of it. I used to remember that, you know, back when the Mets had a couple of great starters, they all kind of wanted to push each other. So you wonder if it's a little bit contagious too. But, you know, the bottom line is the impact that has is enormous, because you really felt as if after the big Frazier blockbuster trade with the relievers that the Yankees were really going to keep pushing for a starter. And maybe they still will trade for a starter, but if Tanaka is sort of back on track, that doesn't feel as urgent as it might have.
All right, let's ask a question then that if Yankee fans want to know. Is Clint Frazier really going to be sent down when Hicks comes back? Is that really going to happen?
I can't see it. I mean, how could you possibly send that guy down? I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's just, you know, I get it about service time and things that matter, you know, and finding his space, but my goodness, he's one of their hottest, best hitters right now. That would just be, I think, shocking. So, and I don't think it would go over well in a clubhouse where guys know who's good. You know, I don't see it, but I guess anything's possible, but I would be shocked.
Been an interesting week with trade talk. I know that early in the week everything was Sonny Gray, and now with the Yankees being really hot, and you just mentioned it, is it I'd hate to see I guess Billy Beane's asking for a whole lot. I guess he asked for Torres and he asked for Frazier, which obviously isn't going to happen. But do you expect the Yankees to make a move? Because realistically speaking, they are an arm away. They do need one more arm. Do you expect them to make a move?
I think they will make a move. I just don't think they're just not going to pay that high a price. I can't see them giving up one of those prized prospects when we see how well these young guys are playing together. I mean, I just feel like they feel that they're back at the start of something big, which they had in the past, which we all know with Core 4 and stuff like that in the back. I just don't think they want to I don't think they're ready to give up on one of those, you know, give up in the terms or give away one of those big prospects yet.
All right, let's move over to the Giants. I know the Giants training camp had started. Anything standing out to you first couple days?
Well, I mean, you know, Odell Beckham is always going to be the center of the drama. I mean, that's just, you know, part of the thing with the Giants. I think expectations are really high, not only from the outside, maybe even more so on the inside than the outside. I think, you know, the offensive line is kind of the one area that people want to question. And I was interested to hear people's reactions to that in the last 2 days and them, you know, admitting that the offensive line guys hear the criticism and that it drives them in a way. I thought that was interesting because really that was the big question mark, and the Giants didn't change anything. They have a couple guys in for competition, but it's, you know, presumably going to be the same line that it was last year. So, you know, listen, you can't help but get excited about, if you're a Giants fan, that the weapons on offense, you know, that they're everywhere. And I think in the long run, when you get to the point where you're game planning, that's where you really reap the benefit, because how do you cover all those guys? I think that you feel like you can tailor it to, you know, opponents' defenses and really try to take advantage of matchups and mismatches and that kind of thing. So, you know, we didn't really see in the first 2 days, they didn't do team drills or 7-on-7, so you kind of didn't get a full sense of seeing them all on the field. But there's a lot of excitement, particularly for the offense this year.
You know, Tara, one of the things Coach McAdoo addressed early on was the difference in age, you know, across the board in the locker room, and really how young the Giants are. You know, as you just kind of observe and watch the first couple of days, have you seen older guys and younger guys gravitating to each other in terms of mentorship, or is it just kind of all positional stuff at this time because it's still too early?
Yeah, it's still a little early to see that because, like I said, even Thursday was only the report day. Friday was practice, but mostly it was even structured in individual groups by position. They didn't do a lot together. The thing is, they do have some age range, and obviously the guy at the high end of that is Eli. You know, and it's an interesting year for Eli in terms of his leadership, which isn't sort of this, you know, magnified profile. He's not a guy who's grabbing reins and in people's faces or yelling or screaming or anything. It's a little different dynamic for him. He has three other guys in the quarterback room, which is something he hasn't had really ever with the Giants. And they're all new to the Giants offense. But I actually asked him about that the other day, and I thought it was interesting that he said he loves it that way, because even as he's teaching the offense or helping answer questions, it helps him understand it more. So I do think that they'll mesh in that regard. I think McAdoo being aware of it is probably a good thing, and working his, you know, crazy motivational ploys. I'm sure if you were paying attention, I thought you were going to ask me about his Frazier the Lion story.
Yeah, the Lion story, yeah.
No, I was not.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Look it up, people. Go ahead and Google Frazier the Lion and you'll know why. But yeah, I think it's there, the age difference, but I don't think it's going to be an issue. This was a really good locker room last year in terms of chemistry, so I wouldn't anticipate any issues there.
And how about DJ Fluker? Reports that he's lost a ton of weight and starting to maybe look like the DJ of old. Is that how accurate is that?
Well, we didn't see much of him, like I said. But I will say, when the Giants signed him, even I remember speaking to a scout from another NFC team who thought it was a great fit for the Giants. And that was even before he did get in better shape. I think, like I said, the line is the thing we're going to look at. Eric Flowers spent his entire offseason at the facility working hard, getting, you know, in better shape, looked a little leaner. I think all those guys are, like I said, very well aware that they are perceived as the weak link. Fluker is a guy who can absolutely bring some competition to the right side of that line, which they need, which they should have, and competition is certainly good in training camp. And I think even other players brought him up this week, so he has to have made an impact, an impression in the shape that he came in at.
Tara, how about the new look McAdoo, though? I mean, I mean, new haircut, new suit. I didn't recognize the guy.
I'm not sure I can get on board with the haircut. It's a little, I don't know, it's a little like Roaring 20s, I don't know, gangster movie for me, but he's this, you know, white blonde-haired guy, so I'm not sure it sells. But, you know, listen, he doesn't show a lot of personality, which is why it was funny. It's sort of interesting the other day when he shared, you know, the silly lion story, or sharing a Rudyard Kipling poem with his team. He doesn't flash a lot of that stuff, and so we certainly have some fun with it. But You can't help but notice it. As long as the suit, we don't see him in a suit very often. I just hope the next one fits better than the first
Darryl,
one.
Darryl, we only have a couple minutes left. I want to ask this question. Earlier this week, and we have him on next segment, Dan Shaughnessy wrote that article in the Boston Globe about David Price and Dennis Eckersley. You know, you're a reporter, you're in the locker room. Have you ever seen anything like that before?
That one, I mean, yeah, you always see some issues. Sure, you're going to see things through the years, but that one to me is so littered with disrespect. Like, generally speaking, my experience, the reporters who are former players get so much more of that sort of, you know, inherent respect from the players. And Eckersley did everything. I mean, my goodness, if you're going to pick on a guy who doesn't understand, that's not the guy to pick. He did from starting, relieving, highs, lows, everything. So, no, that one struck me as, you know, really, I thought made Price look bad, look petty, very thin-skinned, and was not impressive, I thought, in that case. And I think the backlash has come down pretty much, you know, harder on Price's side than on Eckersley.
Tara Sullivan, thanks for the time, buddy. We'll talk to you again down the road.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tara.
Tara Sullivan, she's the best.
She is the best.
She is. Interesting take. You know, it's funny. We were talking going off to break about the Dustin Pedroia thing, and we got a text from Andrew in Ferrisburg. He said, my attitude on Dustin changed after that Orioles game. And I think
that's fair.
And that's very fair. Yep. And I think when you look, and to defend Dustin Pedroia a little bit, he hasn't had to be that guy in his whole career. David Ortiz was that guy. And I think when you look at the Red Sox today, and again, great insight by Tara with the Yankees and the Giants. I mean, something that's right in front of it. Yeah. But I think when you talk about this Red Sox team right now and what's happening, and I'm just following up on what Andrew wrote in this text here, is that they don't have that leader right now. And the young guys are too young, you don't even know. And but you didn't realize what an impact David Ortiz had on that organization.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and it was something that we thought about, and it's spot on.
And if you didn't think he was a Hall of Famer, and obviously I could probably go back and debate why I wouldn't think he is. Today, I think he is a Hall of Famer, because if David Ortiz was on the Boston Red Sox today, they'd be five or six games up in first place. I promise you that. And the other question I have him is Farrell. I mean, the other thing is John Farrell. I've been a John Farrell apologist since I've had this show. And I think I've always felt he's had kind of the wrong end of the stick here, but I feel like he has no control of that locker room. That clubhouse.
It is interesting.
And he comes out and says, I'm not gonna tell him to apologize to Eckersley. The wording is just weird.
Should that come from even higher management?
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting. Interesting things happening at Fenway Park. And then for Tara, obviously she's right there. She's in the locker room. I'm sure there's always been some contentious moments between writer and or commentator and player, but to be that sensitive to something like that is to me. I listen. Obviously, we live in Nesson world. We listen to watch Red Sox games all the time. Eckersley does drive me crazy as a Yankees fan, because if I had an argument with Dennis Eckersley, I would say he's not prepared to talk about the other team. That's my biggest thing. He doesn't know anything about the other team. It's like, oh, who's this Judge kid? Like, he's kind of come out of nowhere. It's like, well, yeah. I mean, he's got, you know. I mean, you kind of should know that.
Why?
Well, because you know you're on the air. Of course, what am I saying? I don't know what the hell I'm talking about either.
Well, I mean, come on. He's got to do his job as a color commentator for a home team. You be a homer.
No, I agree with that. But what I'm saying is, I think the only thing I would ever say is that sometimes he just seems like he's unknowledgeable about the Stars coming in to play the Red Sox. That would be my only argument with Dennis Eckersley, and that he is a big-time homer. But you're supposed to be.
Right.
But the fact that all he said was yuck, and you got mad at that? Well, come on, dude. Get a break.
And geez, well, you know, Eck has gone through a couple divorces, battled alcoholism, won a Cy Young, went from starter to reliever, and just he's done it all. So don't question him.
Attaboy, Bernie. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, the great Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe joins us. Don't go anywhere.
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
That's my wife right now. She wants to get out. You know, it's great. You know, my wife's not real happy with you about that, David. That little thing you created there, my false wife yelling at me and talking about some other guy.
Your false wife.
Yeah. I mean, she's not happy. She calls me. So when I was at Lions Cup, she goes, did you know Dave Hunter was playing some woman that's not me screaming and yelling on the radio? And I said, oh, yeah, he does it every week.
And so basically she goes around life thinking that you really yell at your husband too much.
Yeah, so people get guac up to Monica on the streets. So, like, sew it up. You give Jeff a break, will you?
And isn't that good for you?
No, no, it's never good for me.
Well, people are. She's got the PR that she yells at you too much.
Yeah.
So when you're around her, don't they say, don't yell at this man?
Yeah, be nice.
He's very nice.
He's beaten down. You're beating him down.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
So it's better for you.
You know what I realized this week? What makes me really happy? And maybe you guys can relate to this because it really does make me happy. If you walk in and see like a paper box with like the string tied to it someplace, don't you just think like, man, it puts me in a good mood because you know there's something good in there. You know, there's like either a pie in there or a cake in there or some. It's the other day somebody brought in this white box to my restaurant with rope around it. And I'm thinking, I was in a bad mood. I was like, ooh, I wonder what's in there. And it was just like some rolls or something. But it's like when I'm telling you, when you go home today, if your wife happened to have a paper white box, like a pastry box sitting on the kitchen table, your first thought is like, ooh, I'm telling you, everybody in the world thinks that. Anyone that sees and puts me in a good mood, I'm telling
you. So she's buying you gifts
and
wrapping them up now because of that soundbite.
No, I had nothing to do with that. Huh. I was just thinking to myself, as I was sitting here thinking about my week, I was like, oh, I remember to ask these guys the same thing. Do you feel the same way about that? You know, you see a white, just think about, no. I know it's not something you think about often, but think about this. No, there's no treatment. You could be walking into you could be walking in here and there could be a box of donuts and you see that box, you're like, ooh. That's the first thought in your mind.
You see the box and you wonder what's in it.
Yeah, because you know there's only good things in it. That's it. There's nothing bad comes in a white box with a little rope tied around it. Nothing bad comes in it. Nothing does.
I'm not even going to touch this stuff, Bernie. I'm not.
Because you're gross. What? I'm being honest. Am I right?
Rather see rolls, donuts, or a pie?
It doesn't matter. Personally, yes. Eclairs. Eclairs, maybe some cannoli. Oh. Maybe some Boston cream donuts. Those are Jones's Donuts in Rutland, Vermont. I'm just going to tell you something. Look out for those Boston cream donuts. Those are unbelievable. But I'm just saying, go anywhere. You walk in,
give them a free
pastry.
Plug.
Yeah. Well, they aren't right.
You shouldn't do that.
They can't hear. Yeah. Coming from over here.
What?
But anyway, my point.
Coming from where?
This guy over here.
Talking about ESOCs?
What's that?
194 Main Street, Crossman Divorce Court in Burlington. That's where it is.
The bill's in the mail? Anyway, you know what I'm saying? You follow me on this?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. The more I reflect on it, yes.
Yeah, you kind of think, ooh.
I don't know if it makes me happy because I'm really not a pie kind
of
guy.
But it's interesting.
But it does intrigue you.
It
you want to see what's in the box.
Oh, what could be
the
in
box.
There? Yeah, I'm with you. I'm telling you. Nothing
that's like the show Let's Make a Deal.
That's an old show.
It's what's behind the curtain.
It is?
Yeah.
Let's
make you want to keep the boat you have now or do you want to risk
that's
it for
nothing like that.
What's behind
that is nothing like that.
With Wayne Brady, I think?
Oh, Wayne Brady.
Wayne Brady, yeah. He's the host.
Oh, he does that now?
Oh, he's phenomenal. It's great.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
But it's nothing like that because it's not like I would ever want. I would never trade away that. Like
You would never trade away that box for behind the curtain?
No. It's a game show. I don't know if I would or not. And it's a different. You're talking about two different things. I'm talking about a pastry box. When you see a pastry box, there's nothing better than seeing that.
Well, there's something better. What about what's behind the zipper?
You know what I mean? You see what I'm saying? Like, that puts me in a good mood. I'm telling you.
All right.
It'll put me in a good mood this week. All right, we're waiting for Mr. Shaughnessy to call us. But let's talk about this a little bit. Interesting article he wrote this week caused a huge firestorm in Boston. I mean, all the Boston talk shows are talking about it. I actually saw it nationally as well. Essentially, David Price and Dennis Eckersley are on the airplane. Dennis Eckersley made a comment he didn't like. David Price really embarrassed him in the middle of the plane, continued to do it. It's piggybacked off Jackie Bradley Jr.'s picture of him outside the airplane where he tweeted something about, you know, that he had criticized Jackie Bradley Jr. And it's kind of turned the Red Sox, it's turned to a distraction. And I think the lack of the Red Sox communicating about it has kind of caused a distraction. I mean, basically, John Farrell came out and said, I'm not asking him to do anything. There has been very little talk about it. Dennis Eckersley, I don't even know where he is. I guess he's in Cooperstown this week because the induction week, so he's there, but he hasn't been on the air.
He doesn't travel.
No, right. Okay, he doesn't travel. Fair enough. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But well, he obviously traveled that time, but he probably not anymore.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
My understanding is he doesn't travel because of challenges that he faces because he's a recovering.
Oh, right. That's right. I did read that's right in that article. That's right.
So that's why he tries to stay off the road for the downtime and potential for distraction.
And what's your take, Bern? I mean, you're a Sox fan, and I'm unbiased in it. I mean, obviously, I know I'm a Yankee fan, and we make a big point of that. But I mean, unbiasedly, And let's get your opinion, too, 655-6672, 802-655-6672, or you can always go to the Town Fair Tire text line at 802-655-6672 and leave us what your opinion is. But has it made the Red Sox look weak? Has it made their players look a little bit immature? And has it made the, you know, there are some big-time proud players in that locker room. And we're going to start with Dustin Pedroia. We talked about him. And he came out yesterday and talked about how he's the leader. And if you're looking for, you rounded everybody up, you know, got all the reporters together and said, you want, you know, look, I'm the leader. I've been here for a long time. But honestly speaking, Dustin Pedroia has never been that leader.
Well, that's because he hasn't had to be.
Agreed.
And now he has to be. And I think, you know, that was the only way to warrant that attention, because after the Price thing broke out, there was questions about leadership. And let's be realistic. Everybody, they're not playing well, you know, other than Chris Sale, sure, who has been tremendous. Pomerantz has been okay. Porcello pitched well last night. They're just not hitting the ball.
They haven't all year.
Right. And that's been the downfall for right now. And they're struggling. And when you struggle, let's not kid ourselves. It's easy to point the finger at somebody else than look in the mirror and say, what do I have to do to get better?
And for the first time in a long time, the Red Sox don't have what it takes in the minor league system to go get that bat that they need, to go get that maybe that now if David Price is really hurt. And I would never sit here and say that David Price is faking this or the Red Sox are kind of doing this because they don't want to have to pitch him while they're home. But, you know, if David Price is really hurt and I heard a report this morning that Tommy John surgery is a possibility with what's going on with him. If that's the case, I mean, now they've got a huge hole in their rotation. The Red Sox don't have those pieces anymore to go get that player that they need. And the Red Sox are built to win right now.
They are, and it's unfair to put the onus of the offense on the 20-year-old third baseman they brought up, who
is
very talented, yeah, makes loud outs, makes loud hits, but that's just unfair, you know.
But are the Red Sox doing that? Are the Red Sox saying, you got to carry us? I don't think they're doing that. I think the Red Sox are saying, we have a hole at third base. I think the Red Sox have looked
at what they also traded for a third baseman and Eduardo
Nunez is not.
I know, but I'm saying baseman, but. I'm saying they don't have the pieces to go get that bat or that pitcher.
Right.
So they're calling this kid up to hope, like Benintendi did last year, to kind of spark then. And that's a lot.
It's a lot to ask, especially a kid where 2 weeks ago they said they're not bringing him up.
Right.
It's not going
to
happen.
And then they fly him to Seattle, and it's a lot. And, you know, again, it all comes back to individual accountability. You know, you're struggling right now. What are you doing to get better? Don't start, you know, great that you're defending a teammate because the commentator, Eckersley, who has done everything in the game of baseball from a pitching standpoint, you know, just said, yuck.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
Well, it is yuck.
Maybe he was right.
It is. And I mean, and again, I've never, and you listen to more Red Sox games, but I watch a lot of Red Sox games, especially, you know, I'm very involved in what's going on in the American League East as a Yankee fan. So I'm paying attention. I've never heard Dennis Eckersley say anything that I would say, ooh, about ever. Now I think he's
totally honest.
He's honest, but I've never heard anything that he says honest that would deem me, oh my God, that player's going to be upset. I've never heard that. And the fact he said yuck, well, it was yuck. And what his the line that Eduardo Rodriguez, yes, I believe, yeah, had was terrible. Yeah. You know, and he just said yuck. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Right. You know, it was yuck. Let's bounce back.
And big deal.
Right.
And if you can't handle that, I mean, give me a break.
Right.
And for Jackie Bradley Jr. to kind of do what he did. I mean, look, Jackie Bradley Jr. is a good player. But Jackie Bradley Jr. is not having anywhere near the season
he had last season. Made a great home run. He's making some unbelievable defensive players.
One of the greatest catches of the year, catch he made against Judge.
Yep.
I mean, that's an amazing catch. Great. Who's saying he's not a good player?
Right.
But, you know, he's struggling a little bit this year. These guys, this Red Sox team, all these kids that we've heard for years are going to, oh, this is going to be the next level. They're not playing up to that level.
Right.
And that just goes to the
offensively. Defensively, they've been good.
Offensively, but that's not what you're looking for in Boston.
Right.
You need to hit.
The killer bees. Bradley, Betts, Benintendi, Bogarts.
It's a lot of bees.
Yeah, there was one more. I thought there was a fifth one. Who am I? Bradley, Betts, Benintendi, Bogarts.
Bernie.
No.
No, not you. Okay, my bad. Anyway, a lot of bees.
It'll come to me.
Yeah. They're good players.
Yeah.
But they're not David Ortiz. They're not hitting. And the fact that the Boston Red Sox have the ridiculous stats they have offensively and they play at Fenway Park is crazy. I mean, it really is crazy to me when you think about that. Fenway, is there a better hitter's park in baseball than Fenway Park? Well, you said Bogarts.
I did?
Yeah, you said Bogarts. Ugh. Yeah, okay. We'll worry about this later. But okay. I get your point. But again, and they're probably going to be good players down the road, but the Red Sox missed that bat. They absolutely missed that bat. And Benintendi has been a – I think Benintendi going into the season, there's a lot of expectation to put on a young kid like that. I mean, people had already crowned him the AL rookie. He's going to be the rookie of the year. There's no question about that. And, you know, and now all of a sudden he's answering questions because Aaron Judge is having this huge year. And you look at Betts, who I think is one of the best players in baseball, but he's been crowned that as well. And he's not really living up to that offensively as well. Jackie Bradley Jr. is like, one year it's great, one year it's not great, one year it's great. Bogarts are talking about last night having to sit him a few days. That's why it's so good they had Eduardo Nunez if Bogarts keeps struggling. I mean, those are big question marks. Those are huge question marks. They're not getting much out of the catcher position. And where is it going to come from? And that's a big question if you're in Boston.
Well, and that's the thing. There's nobody to protect anybody in the lineup. You know, you go to the Yankees. They're playing great because, you know, Frazier hits a bomb last night.
Sure.
And you know, well, geez, I probably get a better pitch selection if I had Judge around me and Gardner sure. and all those guys. Their lineup is just so good, and that's the problem. The Red Sox just aren't hitting the ball.
And here's the scary
1-9.
And you're right. Here's the scary thing with the Yankees is the Yankees aren't hitting the ball that well either. I mean, if you look at what Judge has done since when the second half started, he's struggled.
Since the home run derby. No, anyways.
And you might be right about who knows, but and whatever the reasoning is, he is not hit. Holiday is in a funk completely. I mean, the guys that have basically been carrying them is D.D. Gregorius, and I can't remember what I'm going to say, it's Chase Headley, and Brett Gardner's gotten hot. So that the Yankees have a lot of depth, so I get what you're saying. The Yankees have a ton of depth. They hit home runs. They hit 3-run home runs. That's a big deal, and they've gotten a lot out of their kids. Their bullpen now is loaded.
Absolutely, and when the Red Sox were having some success before this, slide.
Yeah.
Playing a little small ball, getting on base, yes. stealing bases, bunting, doing a lot of those little things, which, yeah, you got to get on base to do that. But when they're getting on base, that isn't happening.
Don't panic yet, Red Sox fans. It's
a long way to go.
All right, take a quick break. When we get back, I got another public service announcement for everybody. You're not going to want to miss this. I'm going to prove my point again, Bernie, and I'm going to do it live with you. We'll be right back.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley.
You know the way you guys do about my head, whatever, you know? And so...
What about you?
Your ball?
It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
It is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. As I try to help the public, Bernie, during this show, and I have many times said that I don't believe that, boa constrictors and things like that should be pets. They're not meant to be pets. They're not cuddly. They don't want to cuddle with you. They're trying to eat you. And here's another example, Bernie, and I'm here to help people out that decide they want to get a snake. Sheffield Lake, Ohio, Bern. Authorities say firefighters have rescued an Ohio woman after a boa constrictor wrapped around her neck and began biting her face. The unnamed 45-year-old Sheffield Lake woman called 911 Thursday afternoon asking for help. The boa constrictor was one of two snakes she had just rescued the day before. She just rescued these poor animals. Firefighters found the woman lying in the driveway of her home with the snake wrapped around her neck and biting at her. A firefighter had to do something to get the snake off. We won't get into that. The woman was taken to the hospital for apparent life-threatening injuries.
She rescued them?
Yes. The woman had 11 snakes, including 9 ball pythons and a boa constrictor. So here's the deal. I've told you this many times. They're not pets, okay? They're not pets. They're not meant to be pets. They don't want to be your pet. They're trying to eat you. Period.
Hold on.
And if you're my neighbor, I'm not going to be happy if you got one of those.
How did she rescue them?
You have to ask her. She probably, I don't know, maybe she, there was a, somebody was getting rid of them. Maybe there was somebody that put it on some Craigslist thing. There was some ad on Facebook that said, hey, I got a snake here. We got to get rid of. Can you come get it? She decides she's going to probably out there cuddling with this thing. And it looks at her and says, yeah, you look pretty good. I'm going to have a little bite. And that's, I'm just telling you, it's just not good. I'm just saying, and I'm afraid of snakes anyway. And you're telling me a story about snakes in a Pringles container.
Yeah, I don't know. It was like some dude was trying to sneak him in the country, putting king cobras
These
chips.
And this is a good reason. You want to go on a diet? There's another good reason right there. You don't eat that stuff. There could be a king cobra in there. Can you imagine that?
Not really.
Time for SportsCenter.
FM sports station in Vermont, WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh, 101.3 ESPN.
Last night at Fenway Park, Salvador Perez and Mike Moustakas homered, leading the Kansas City Royals to a 4-2 win over the Boston Red Sox. Rick Porcello, who stepped in for David Price, who was put on the 10-day DL with an elbow problem yesterday, took the loss for Boston. The loss was the 14th of the season for last year's Cy Young Award winner and dropped his record to 4-14. Boston lost 5 of 6 in 9 of its last 14 games. The loss knocked Boston out of first place in the AL East for the first time since June 29th. The Sox and Royals continue their weekend series in Boston. You can hear all the action right here on 101.3 ESPN. Coverage starts at 6:25. And last night from the Boogie Down, here's John Sterling with a call of an Aaron Judge home run. Seems to be an ongoing episode here on Sports Saturday.
Here's the 1-2.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left and it's high. It is far. It is gone. A bullet line drive in the left field seats. A Judgian blast. All rise. Here comes the Judge. He homers to left, and the Yankees take a 2-0 lead.
Judge hit his AL-leading 33rd home run of the season, and the Yankees left fielder Clint Frazier added a 3-run blast, and also Brett Gardner led off the game with a home run, and Masahiro Tanaka, he pitched 8 innings, giving up 1 run on 2 hits while striking out 14, not walking a batter. Yankees won 5 straight and now are in first place, and they continue their series with the Rays this weekend in the Bronx this afternoon, first pitch at 1:05. I'm David Hunter, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Sports Saturday, hour number 2, straight ahead.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley.
We are Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN.
Just ask us.
Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Go Big Blue! Go Big Blue!
Good morning. It is Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I'm your host, Jeff Paul. Bernie Siplicki, my best buddy, riding shotgun. Bern,
how you doing, my man?
Hour number 2 ahead of us here, and on the TikTok Jewelers guest line right now. We're very excited about this.
I can't fake this one.
I mean, this is a big deal for us. On the TikTok Jewelers guest line, our two-time world champion and former All-Pro for the New York Giants, linebacker Carl Banks. Good morning, Carl. Thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
Good morning, man. Thanks for having me.
Carl, I have to tell a funny story. My father got me your autograph when I was like 12 years old. Okay, that autograph was hanging in my room my whole adolescence, all through high school, brought it with me to college, everywhere I've been. Then I got married, I put it in my bedroom, and my wife said, that's going down to the man cave, pal. So I told my wife, Monica, I was going to call her out on that. So your autograph is big on my wall, so we really appreciate you taking the time with us this morning. All right,
awesome.
All right, so we are going into training camp with the Giants big time. What are you looking forward most to seeing throughout this camp?
Well, I think what you have to look for, number one, is improvement on the offensive line because, you know, there are so many weapons that were added offensively and then so many guys that you'll consider weapons because, like, a guy like Paul Perkins is coming of age. You know, they got him some playing time last year. They're counting on him to carry the load. So everything starts up front with the offensive line. I think Jerry Reese said it best. The two young offensive tackles both have gotten a lot of reps, and I think you need that now because you don't get a lot of time in practice to really hone your skills, and I think the learning curve is a little steeper with offensive tackles coming out of college that spread, you know, that were in a spread offense. You know, they're just fundamentally flawed coming into the NFL. So it takes a little while longer. We'll see if both Hart and Flowers are much improved. I tend to believe they will be. Number one, they're biologically young guys, you know, so they're going to come of age a bit biologically and mature a bit. So I think they'll be okay there. We will see if they've taken the next step. And then, you know, you look at the addition of a guy like Brandon Marshall, Evan Ingram, it makes it a very tough offensive group to defend.
Carl, you know, you've won two championships and you played for Bill Parcells, and you guys back in those days were tight-lipped. I mean, we knew how good you were, but you never told anybody. This Giant team on paper looks really good, and as Giant fans, we're all excited about this team. But they are talking a lot. Well, if you were on that coaching staff, what would you be telling these guys?
I don't know. I don't know if there's anything you can say these days. I mean, the fans are very optimistic. These kids are answering questions. I don't think anybody at the start of training camp. Now, if it gets that way in the middle of the season, then we got a problem. But at the beginning of training camp, every team's undefeated. And if you ask any player whether they went 0-16 or 15-1, they will tell you their goal is to win a Super Bowl. So, you know, training camp is okay. It's quite okay for me because every team is undefeated and every team has that goal. Now, if they start to have a little success and they start to talk Super Bowl, that's when you really say, okay, guys, calm down and just, you know, take care of your business. But right now it's camp. It's great for us to talk about, for folks to write about, and it's great for the fans. You know, everybody walks into that camp healthy, and they're looking forward to trying to win as many games as possible. I know they all want to go undefeated if you ask around the league.
Carl, you know, one of the areas of concern for the Giants the past couple of years has been the linebacking area, not able to cover the tight end, you know, just getting exploited that way. What do you see out of this kind of young group, and where is that chemistry and leadership going to come from in this group of linebackers?
Well, Devon Kennard is your, you know, more of your vocal leader. I think if I have to go player by player, linebacker by linebacker in his group, for Devon Kennard, I think he's got to take it up a level. I think he came in, he showed a great deal of promise. He's, you know, dealt with some injuries the last couple years. He's healthy now. I think it's time for him to really put it together because he has a diverse skill set. But for him, my challenge would be to level up. He's got to take it another level. Keenan Robinson, I think, is the bright spot and the guy that nobody really talks about. He's a guy that can cover tight ends. He can do a lot. But I think the sleeper here and the guy that's going to be the linchpin of that group, or that front seven, will be B.J. Goodson. He can find the football. He knows to do when he gets there. The key for B.J. is playing at an NFL speed. I think he needs to play much faster. And I think because of being a middle linebacker, it's like learning quarterback for the defense. You've got to be able to make adjustments, and you've got to be able to play your own position. He's working with Antonio Pierce. I'm really excited to see him play. But the other area for the Giants, let's just say they don't have a linebacker that can cover a tight end, which, you know, there are going to be a lot of defenses that will have that same problem with the Giants, is their nickelback position. They need Darian Thompson healthy so that they can have five defensive backs, six defensive backs, because they can't, and plus the fact that if Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie goes out, then it leaves them thin. So they've got to find a nickel, either linebacker or a nickel safety. And if Thompson's starting, then they can look at guys like Burhey or some of the other guys in some flexible positions, Adams as well. But you can't really look at this defense and say they are without holes, because they also were giving up big plays every game, 20-plus or more yard plays. They've got to eliminate that from the beginning.
We are talking to two-time Super Bowl champion for the New York Giants, Carl Banks, here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN. Carl, interesting take on the defense, because there's a lot of talk on it, but I want to switch over to Odell Beckham Jr. It's been a very contentious few months, at least from a fan's perspective, I think, with Odell Beckham. When you look at the minicamp things with all the Twitter pictures and pictures of him playing catch with Johnny Manziel and hanging out with Chris Carter and talking about his contract and then coming into camp, and the first thing he's talking about is he wants to be the highest player in the league. My take on Odell Beckham is, special player. You're glad he's on your team. But to me, I feel like he hasn't had that defining moment yet. He's had some big catches and some great catches, but that defining moment that really makes you a super superstar player for the New York Giants. What's your take on Odell Beckham Jr.?
He's really good. I think he's on the brink of greatness. I think anybody that plays against him will tell you how good he is, what a threat he is. If you have issues with Odell Beckham, then I think you should probably balance those. And I'm not a, because I'm as big, a bigger critic as anyone when he's screwing up, but you should balance those off of the comments and the feelings of his teammates and his owner. Now, if you see what the owner said about him, just yesterday or 2 days ago at the open of camp, you'll see exactly what they feel about him and his contributions to the team. I think we tend to want, and I call it obsessive nanny disorder. We want these young athletes to be what we want them to be. They're living their lives out loud because it's, you know, we've got social media now. But the kid has never been reckless with anything. We've never seen, and I don't know what his private life is like, but we've never seen him walking around with, you know, red cups in his hand, boozing it up or drunk off his feet. You know, he has a good, clean fun. And I'm not sure that's an issue if I'm looking at it. And certainly if I were raising him as my son, I would see nothing wrong with him having a good time and being safe and responsible. I think that's what it is. I don't think anybody will dispute his conditioning, his commitment to being the greatest ever. And listen, if a player wants to be great, let's just say, and I'm not comparing him to Kobe Bryant at this stage of his career, but everybody said Kobe was selfish, right? But because Kobe's selfish interest aligned with the team's interest, it became mutually beneficial. Because the better he is, the better the team is. And I think that same case holds true for Odell Beckham. So, I mean, he's not a reckless kid. I don't see a lot wrong. You know, I got after him pretty good with the Josh Norman nonsense, but all the rest of the stuff is, you know, I think we're just obsessing and we're being nannies, and let's just let him live. You know, he's giving you everything he got when he's on the field and even in his off-season training. It's evident.
I can't disagree with you. I guess the problem that I have is that the optics just look bad. And again, I understand how the media works. You know, they headline things that may be a really small part of what he was really saying, but the optics during minicamp and the tweets and it just didn't look good with all the great things that were happening with the Giant organization at that time. It just didn't look good. That, I guess that's where I was coming
from.
Well,
yeah, but the optics, just apply the same optics if you were raising your kid. And as a parent, whatever standard you have in your house, right?
Yeah.
Apply those optics to your kid and tell them if you have a problem with them.
No, I mean, I guess that's a great question.
I mean, perception, and listen, everybody has a right to their opinion, and they can feel about these athletes however they want, right? But I'm just going to say, when we start to expect things and we apply a standard that is almost out of line with what the organization even wants, you know, it's what we want from athletes, not what the team expects. Like, if we were to look at a mission statement from the Giants, if they had one, and what they expected of their players, right?
Right?
And if every fan across the NFL looked at that before they made a comment and based whatever they're seeing, whatever the perceived optics are, based on what that code of ethics is for that team, I bet we'd have less of the nitpicking. Because we're talking about young men. Yeah, we don't like, sometimes we don't even like the music they play, you know, but It's what they are. It's who they are. And we can't change them. And if I had to apply the same, like I said, anybody that has an issue with him, take the rules of your house and apply them to your kid the same way you're looking at the behavior of Odell Beckham and see if he's out of line with what works in your house.
Carl, you had the privilege to play for Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick. What are the greatest attributes that you have taken away from them that you've brought into your, whether it's career, life, anything you learned from them that has always sat with you?
That's a great question because, you know, I wrote Bill Belichick a letter probably about 7 years ago, I hit a milestone in my business career, and I told him that it was because of the things that he and Bill Parcells taught me in terms of preparation, leadership, the ability to deal with adversity under really tough conditions is what I learned most of them, because you're baptism by fire with these guys. There's no compromising. There's a commitment, a 100% commitment to sound fundamentals. They will not compromise. They will not let you cut the corner. They want it done the right way, and they will drill it and drill it and drill it until it becomes a way of life. And I think that is kind of the principles that I apply to my my apparel business.
Carl, what was it? You know, the first Super Bowl that you won, you guys were the favorites beating Denver. But going into that Buffalo Super Bowl, you guys kind of came out of nowhere. There's a great quote, and it's on NFL Network all the time, of Parcells looking at you and saying, you know, no one thinks we got a chance here. I think you guys were getting ready to go play San Francisco in the NFC Championship. And he looks at you and he says, I don't know if you remember that or not, but he says something like, you know, nobody's going to give us a chance. You said, yeah, I know that. I mean, talk about both of those Super Bowls and what it was like to prepare for that Buffalo game, and what was going on during that game to give you guys a chance to win that one.
Well, I think that season, the 89-90 season, was the season of yeah, buts. We had some injuries. We lost our quarterback. In every game we won, we would read, they won, but. Yeah, they won, but. Impressive victory, but. And we just went and just took the yeah, buts until we kicked butt all the way to the Super Bowl. But it was one of those deals where, frankly, when we went to San Francisco and won that one, we had a chip on our shoulder because we felt disrespected just every step of the way when teams never gave us a chance. And then each victory we had, the next team was supposed to be the one that brought us back down to earth, and to the point to where San Francisco was so confident they went and set up shop in Tampa. So we were pretty upset about that, and we were going to just go and, you know, white-knuckle it until we came out with a victory. And then after that, we didn't have a chance to breathe because it was the, yeah, but did you just see what happened with Buffalo and Oakland? They just put 40-something points up, and it was a track meet. And you cut on the film, and that's exactly what you saw, a track meet. And so we had total confidence in our coaching staff that they would give us a great game plan, and we would execute it.
Carl, the greatest athlete you played against was who?
Barry Sanders.
Huh. Interesting. And the greatest athlete you played with was who?
Lawrence Taylor.
Can you give us any kind of insight on him?
Just great. I mean, what you see is what you get, but he saw the game so much differently than everybody else. The game slowed down for him. He had, you know, he could see how things develop, like kind of like superhero-like. He can look and just, you know, he's a great judge of, like, human behavior. He could tell when the play was going to run his way because, you know, normally if a quarterback's not going to run his way or they're not going to pass the ball, they don't look at it. And then there are plays where there are three or four guys looking at him, and he knows. And then he can just, at that point, decipher which guy is going to try to block him. He was just a phenomenal football player, but he had probably one of the greatest football IQs that you would ever imagine.
Carl, prediction for this year's Giants team?
Well, I think the expectation is that they'll improve on their playoff season and win more games. So I'm going to give them a playoff. I'm going to predict they'll be back in the playoffs. That's as far as I can go.
We'll take that.
I have to say, out of everybody that's on MSG or the people that I follow, you are their best critique, Carl. I have to say, you are the best one to watch because you tell it the way it is. There's no question about that.
Well, I appreciate it.
All right, Carl. Thanks so much
for the time.
Thank
you so much, Carl.
I was very proud to talk to you today. Have a great rest of your season. Hopefully we can talk to you again down the road.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. The great Carl Banks. Unbelievable. We have to take a break. When we come back, we'll break
I'm
down.
I'm done. I'm good.
No, we'll take
I'm
a break. All... We'll come back. We'll break down what he said. All right, we'll be right back.
I mean, everything's a distraction that I do. So speaking, it doesn't really matter. Anything that goes on is going to be a distraction. So me speaking my mind about a question that was asked through a company that I work with, it's a different story. And again, other than that, you know, this is my fourth year in the league. I don't really know about contracts. I don't know how they're done. I don't know anything about that. That's up to Mr. Reese, Mr. Mayor of the Giants, my agent. So they all figure that out. I just come out here, stretch, run routes, play football, try and be the best teammate I could be every day. And that's really all I have to say about it.
That's Odell Beckham Jr. talking about the contract. He's been under fire a little bit the last couple of days in the New York market just because he's been talking about he wants to be the highest paid player in the league. And good for him. He deserves that. He's had a great chat with Carl Banks. And Carl Banks made some great points about, you know, look, you know, he's a kid and you know, he really isn't anything that's that bad. And I couldn't agree more with what he said. I mean, you're not going to disagree with what Carl Banks said. My whole point with this is that he asked, you know, what would you do if it was your kid? How would you do? And I would have told if Odell Beckham was my son, I think I would have said, listen, my biggest problem with Odell Beckham isn't about the contract. It isn't about somebody asking him the question. And I know how this stuff works. You know, they ask you a question, you answer it, and then they headline it to make it look like you looked a little bit worse off than what it was. You know, you meant something different. My point is that the optics with Odell Beckham just haven't looked good. It all started last week going into the playoffs, Bernie, right? We had the boat trip with Victor Cruz and Shepard, and they're on the boat, the picture of them hanging out, and the week before they end up playing very poorly. Then the next week we have a situation, then going into this season, you know, we've got all these great things happening with the Giants, all these signings, you know, you got a lot of good things happening, a lot of expectation. We have mini camp show up, and then Odell Beckham Jr. doesn't show up. Yeah, I know, it doesn't show up, and then all of a sudden we've got a situation where he's on Twitter, he's playing catch with, you know, with Johnny Manziel, he's hanging out with Chris Carter. He's talking about, you know, he's not going to go because it just didn't look good. And that's my biggest problem with Odell Beckham. It's not about, and I'm sure he's a great teammate and I hope he's a great player. But the other question I have for you, Bernie, is, and I know we've got a caller, we'll get to him in 1 second, to the caller in 1 second. My question that I have for you is Odell Beckham Jr., has he made some great plays, but he's dropped some big balls too in some key situations. I don't think he's really had that defining moment that says this is the guy for the New York Football Giants.
He's had great games.
Great moments.
And great moments, but in the bigger games, his production hasn't been at the superstar level yet.
Right. Okay, we got a call.
Ooh, from Underhill Center.
Jan's on the phone from Underhill. What's going on, Jan?
Guys, why are we talking about the football Giants? It's still July, right? When they're 0-4, you're going to regret that you spent so much time talking about them. And
coming from a Jets fan. All right.
Attaboy, Jan.
How you doing?
Attaboy, Jan. Coming from a Jets. I thought you want to talk about your new closer with the Mets. Isn't that something? I thought you'd be more excited about that.
Yeah, no, I was just chiming in. I mean, it's not time to talk about the Giants. The Giants are going to be good. They're always good. What are you going to do? Carl Banks, great guest. Good job having Carl Banks on. Pat yourselves on the back. really, like, the key here is the fact that, like, Red Sox fans woke up yesterday morning. And remember, I'm a Mets fan. I'm, you know, a passive observer of this whole thing. Red Sox fans woke up yesterday morning. They had a little bit of controversy swirling around with the Eckersley thing. And now Price is going on the DL. And now they lose. And now the Yankees win. And all of a sudden, like this juxtaposition, the Red Sox are not only like swirling controversy, they got no leadership, but they're also in second place. They're also like looking up all of a sudden. First time since June 29th. Let's go Yanks, right?
Attaboy, Jan. Attaboy. Good call.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree, but, you know,
what are you talking
about?
How can you disagree? You're talking about sell.
Yeah, might as well. It's over.
What are you talking about?
It's over. Sell.
Thanks for the call, Jan. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Be good.
All right, buddy. You know, listen. Well, I only finish. We'll finish our point about the Giants. I know Jan doesn't want to talk about.
Oh, yeah, Jan killing us.
Hey, what's up? Well, Jan's always killing us though. Somehow, he's always got some kind of jab in there somewhere.
What he does,
passive aggressive, but definitely a little jab there.
But it's kind of funny.
Yeah, well, of course it's good. He's good. Jan's smooth. He knows what he's doing.
But I'm grumpy.
He's bitter.
But he's grumpy because he's a Mets
and a Jets fan.
Jets, Knicks.
Yeah, rough. Yeah. It's rough. You picked the wrong side of New York.
When it right now. Some of those you know, teams. But can you like cheer for the Mets and then jump to the Yankees?
No, you can't. I mean, I couldn't.
I don't understand how that's fair.
I couldn't do that I couldn't root for the Mets as a Yankees.
But,
fan.
Like if the Giants stink, could you cheer for the Jets?
Oh God, no! You want the Jets to stink worse?
Exactly.
Yeah, you don't want it's a back page you want to own, right? Exactly. You
okay.
Can't, yeah, I'm
All
with
right.
you on that.
All right.
Let's get back to what we're talking about though, because he's absolutely right about the Red Sox. And we touched on that last hour. Let's talk a little about this. So, are you with me on the Odell Beckham thing?
in terms of...
What Carl Banks just talked about.
You know, I think Carl has some interesting points, and I do agree. I mean, there's no doubt. There's find me somebody more talented than him.
Sure, I agree. Yep.
And he's ours. And I guess, you know, I really appreciate the reality that Carl makes you think about is, for as talented as he is, we want him to act a different way, but it's kind of like... You know, like Whitney Houston, when people would start to tell her what to do, she would just say, "Let me be me. We gotta let Odell be him." And Carl's
totally
right.
Agree.
He has. What has he done wrong?
Well, I.
But what has he done wrong?
Well, again,
nothing.
Well, he hasn't done anything wrong that would deem there'd be a problem. But optically, he's done a few things that make you go, "Why though?" I mean, it's kind of like the kid that. You know, the kid that kind of goes up and kind of bumps you for no reason. Like, you didn't really do anything wrong, but, like, why'd you have to bump him? You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason to do it. And again, I go back to the optics of the minicamp
But he's in great shape.
He is. But it's like, if he did what
Olivia Vernon
did, no problem.
Right.
But that's not what he did. You know, he kind of made it a spectacle. Made it about him. Like, look, I'm playing catch with Johnny Manziel. I'm working with Chris Carter. I'm working in L.A. with the trainer. While the Giants are here, you know, I'm putting it out on Twitter. I'm talking about my contract on Twitter.
Because he's working.
But you're still fair enough, you're working. But why you got to put it out there like that? Why you got to put pictures out there that you know are going to be deemed as controversial? You know are going to be deemed, especially in that market, as being, you know, kind of confusing. You know what's going to get people thinking, talking?
Because it's... this day and age,
yeah,
of sports.
And you're right, and you might be right. And again,
and it stinks. I don't like it.
Right, and it's not that you did anything wrong.
Right.
You're not doing anything wrong.
Right.
You are working out. You're playing with professional athletes. You're working with a guy in Chris Carter that had a great career. No matter what you think of Chris Carter, you know, I get what you're doing, and you're talking about, hey, I want more money, and you want all that stuff, and you're putting it out there. Fair enough, but the timing just stinks, and it's like, why? Like, why do you want to be contentious with the New York Giants? You know they're going to take care of you. You're with one of the greatest football organizations in football. You know, you're not in an albatross place where you're not going to...
But how is he being contentious?
I think he's being contentious. When you go on, when you put yourself out there and you talk about, I may not come to camp if I don't get the money I want, or, you know, I'm working out with these guys instead of these... contentious to me means I'm kind of showing you what I'm doing with these other guys when the team's here, when people are kind of giving you some criticism. I just feel like it would have been a different situation. He said, I'm rooting for my team. You know, I'm going to be there. I can't wait to be there for training camp. I'm going to be there. I'm working my butt off right now. Done. You don't have to get into these pictures and you're with controversial figures. It just doesn't look good. Just why would you do it? Why?
Because that's the day and the age.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
But that's why.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. And there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with what he did. I mean, fine, you know, it gets guys like us that I talk on the radio. We get to talk about it. We can argue about it. The weekend that happened, I was driving to New York City. Everybody was talking about this.
You were going nuts that week.
I was mad because it's like, what are you doing? Like, why are you causing this commotion? You know, the Giants are a nice story. Stop doing this. You're the Giants. Why can't we talk about the Cowboys and all the problems they have with Zeke Elliott? And you think he'll be suspended?
No. I don't.
655-667 is the number to call. 802-655-6672. If you want to get on our text line, by the way, the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672 if you want to text. But anyway,
I don't think he'll get suspended, but it's interesting, you know, back to what Carl was saying with the Giants. He was talking about, you know, Hart and Flowers and the reps. And, you know, everybody kind of gets all over Flowers. He was the first round draft pick, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
People forget. Bobby Hart was our seventh-round draft pick that year out of Florida State. And again, the reps and all that kind of stuff. Maybe it's just me being hopeful in the glass half full, but if that offensive line comes together.
Well, and I agree.
And Eli's pitch count, that'll save him.
Eli. Well, and let's say this. Interesting insight by Carl Banks to talk about the defense too, right? A defense that's been talking about it's going to be one of the greatest of all time. A defense that's got all this expectation. I mean, Carl Banks put some holes in that. I mean, he's the one that said, look, they've got some work to do. And then if guys like DRC don't stay healthy, there's going to be some problems. That's how important Thompson is, the safety from Boise State that got hurt last year. That's a big player for the Giants this year.
It is. It's going to, you know, the potential is there.
Well,
no doubt.
And when you look at Eli and you know that there's not I get mad at Eli Manning a lot. But for the first time since the Plaxico Burress days, when Eli Manning really was the great quarterback that we all remember him being, he's got that weapon again. And I think that's pretty important.
Yeah, it's no pun intended, huge. You know, he's got that big target to protect him.
All right, we got a phone call?
Yeah, we got a guest for next segment.
Oh, guest for next, a guest for, what, Dan, our guest for next segment?
Yeah, he's ready to go.
All right, that sounds good. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to talk a little about some unified sports in Vermont, my man.
I don't know if great stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff. We're going to talk to a good friend of mine, Dan McAndrews, about that. We'll be right back.
Champlain Valley Game Night with Brady Farkas.
Why is Ezekiel Elliott still around? Ezekiel Elliott might be the best running back in football. Ezekiel Elliott's allowed to have three strikes. Lucky Whitehead, you hear rumblings of a small crime. Oh, we want to have a moral compass. We want to have a code of honor. We can't act like that. We got to hold players accountable and show them that you can't do those things if you want to be in our organization.
Champlain Valley Game Night, weekdays from 6 to 7, only on 101.3 ESPN.
Summer isn't over, people. There's still plenty of time to add some boom to your backyard. Green Mountain Fireworks will be staying open the rest of the summer. So whether it's for Labor Day, New Year's, or just because you want to scratch that pyrotechnic itch, get yourself stocked up now. From rockets to Roman candles and fountains to firecrackers. They don't need coupons or gimmicks. They already have the best selection at the best price. Green Mountain Fireworks in the red, white, and blue tent on Route 7 behind Milton Bear. How the backyard show gets better.
The 10th annual Big Dog Daddy year-end clearance sale is going strong at Lamoille Valley Ford. Tell them, kid.
That's right, folks. Business is rocking at Lamoille Valley Ford as we make crazy deals to move out the 2017 before next year models arrive. And just because you want a great deal does not mean you have to settle for an ugly car or truck. At Lamoille Valley Ford, our lot is jam-packed with tons of C-Max, Infusion Energies, loads of Escapes and Explorers, and over 150 Ford trucks in every color, and we know price matters. Plus, listen to this. When you combine Ford's rebates and savings with our Lamoille Valley Ford discounts, you can take up to $10,500 off select F-150s. Or how about this smoking three-year lease deal? With $3,900 cash or trade down, plus tax reg and fees, you can get a new 2017 F-150 Supercab 4x4 for just $229 per month. And we still have several of these trucks available while they last.
So drive Route 14, 15, or 16 to Hardwick and save big money during the Big Dog Daddy year-end clearance sale happening right now at Lamoille Valley Ford.
Love a clean car all the time? Well, Champ Car Wash has the solution. Thanks to the folks that took touchless technology to the next level, Champ Car Wash will provide you with the proper shine every time, as many times as you want. Check out their new Unlimited Pass, starting at just $24.95. You can wash your car every day. It's easy with Champ's new Unlimited plan. Whether you choose the basic wash for $24.95 or the deluxe wash at $39.95, you can go every day all for just one low monthly payment. Check out champcarwash.com.
Jacoby Ellsbury talks about the Baseball Hall of Fame.
I've been to the Hall of Fame, and you know, to walk around, to see all the history, all the great players, and to have my bat in there is pretty special.
Preserving history, honoring excellence, connecting generations at the Baseball Hall of Fame. Connect with Cooperstown at baseballhall.org.
Your car's in pretty good shape. If it's only 6 or 7 years old, you just commute to work every day and take the occasional road trip. Sometimes you drive around just so your dog can hang his head out the window. Your car doesn't have to be old to accumulate miles. Pennzoil High Mileage is for any vehicle with 75,000 miles or more on it. It's specially formulated to reduce oil consumption and leaks and reduce engine wear. Pennzoil High Mileage, because before you know it, you'll be on the road again. Make the switch to Pennzoil at an AutoZone near you.
Weeds love your garden. They hide near flowers knowing you can't touch them. Now you can, with Roundup Weed and Grass Killer with SureShot 1 from the Home Depot. A special buy at just $19.97. The protective shield means pinpoint accuracy, so you can target weeds without harming surrounding plants. With Roundup in hand, weeds are in trouble. Roundup Weed and Grass Killer with SureShot 1, just $19.97, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 2nd while supplies last, U.S. only.
Upper body injury.
Getting you ready for game day.
No, I really am discombobulated.
Yeah, but the show got a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Bernie, I do want to make sure I announce one more time. Green City Garage, new sponsor. I want to make sure we give them a shout-out. Check those guys out. My buddy Chris Wallace and Josh Laird. They're located over at 49B Commerce Ave, Unit 5 in South Burlington. You got a car problem, you bring it there. And it's good for the environment, so I know our next guest will like that.
That's good.
My good buddy, old college friend from St. Well, not from St. Albans, really, but now you're teaching in St. Albans. Special educator Dan McAndrews. Good morning, my friend.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's good to be here. Thanks so much.
Yeah, wait, listen.
Thanks so much.
You know, I talked to you a couple weeks ago, and you are a big part of the unified sports program in the St. Albans area. So talk to our listeners and tell us a little bit about what that's about.
So Unified Sports is the school-based arm of Special Olympics, and Special Olympics Vermont. So this is the national deal. Of course, Special Olympics is a national outfit. And I don't know how many states have Unified Sports. I'm assuming quite a few, most.
Yeah.
So it's the school-based arm of it. And what it's all about is mirroring or joining students that have intellectual disabilities with other athletes who are just your typical kid.
Right.
And they practice together, they train together, they compete together. So it's all about building inclusion and acceptance, and it's kind of really starting to take off. We have... Let me see. I think five sports that we do. We do soccer, basketball, snowshoeing, floor hockey, bowling. We used to do bowling, not anymore, and bocce. And at the end each.
Now, bocce is a game I can get into. I'll tell you, sir, that's a great
game.
You
don't have to have a lot of skill,
and
but
that's why
helps.
I'm good at that. You know what I'm saying? That's right. Why I'm usually good at that.
And at each end of each season, there's a tournament like you would any other sport. It's all the same.
The kids must absolutely go crazy for this.
It's their world. You know, it's building, just like, you know, we've all played sports growing up and still do, some of us, not as well as anymore.
Right.
Personally speaking. But we all get, besides learning sport X or sport Y, we learn in teamwork, work ethic, socialization, how to work with people, how to collaborate, and these kids are doing the same thing. It's no different. Same deal.
So what do you, I mean, obviously, so how do kids get involved? Like, what are the, if so a kid that's listening to us in, you know, pick a town around here, Milton or in Colchester or in Essex or mm-hmm. even in St. Albans, mm-hmm. how does a kid get involved?
Well, the first step would be to ask their athletic director. There's got to be some adults who are going to get it started. So with some advisors / coaches, whatever you want to call it at the time, who are going to run it and kind of be the coaches. You have to be certified to be a coach. And Vermont Special Olympics makes that pretty easy. There's a training program for it. And the quality of that training continues to go up each year. So if there's enough kids who want to do this or are interested and there's a need for it, their school can contact Vermont Special Olympics. Rachel Hamm is the contact person, and I can give you guys some contact information for her.
Yeah.
She's a program manager over there at Vermont Special Olympics. And that's what's going to have to start. It may start, you just might be able to do just one sport. Great. And then it's going to blossom and grow throughout the year.
Now, Bernie, as the athletic director at Colchester, you are very proud of your unified.
We have a unified basketball.
Right. So,
team.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's you know, we've had it for 2 years, and you know, it just it really has just been one of the most rewarding programs mm-hmm. that if not the most rewarding program that I'm involved with, because in terms of, you know, everything kind of just goes out the window. It's just kids always having fun and like you said, working
pure.
Together. Yeah, that's a great word. It's so pure, and you know, you see your best student athlete in the mainstream mm-hmm. come and just be a child, be a kid, and help these other kids that have these challenges and these feelings. It's so wonderful. The way that it works and the way you see it, and it's just it's just great because no one's getting paid. And they're
not with a currency anyway.
Right, you know,
currency is really an emotional development.
Yep, it really is, and it's kids volunteering their time and working on time management, and the other thing that I notice is the mainstream student athlete really recognizing how lucky they are, to be able to do what they can do. And that, to me, has been the greatest teaching tool for our student-athletes that have done it the last couple
years. They probably get more out of it than anybody.
Yeah, and you just said it. I mean, and what a lesson it teaches these athletes who, you know, let's face the way high school athletics have turned here. I mean, it's become a – it's not fun for some kids anymore. I mean, no, Bernie and I have had a debate many times on this show with not only just the pressure, but the pressure of, okay, I'm really good at, say, basketball, so that's all I'm going to focus on in my 4 years of high school. I'm going to play basketball. I'm going to play soccer, and that's all I'm going to do. Bernie and I have had a conversation many times about the three-sport athlete is something of the past now, especially nowadays if you're elite in something.
And that's too bad.
It is too bad.
So you're actually a better athlete for the sport that you want to focus on if you play more.
No question.
And I'm sorry, Jeff, just to piggyback on that is, and that pressure isn't coming from the school. It's coming from all the clubs and the AAU and the you have to be a specialist and that's
unfortunate.
That's tough.
But my whole point was it kind of teaches these athletes to kind of say, look, you know, this is what it's really about. It's about going out and having fun playing a game, because that's what it all starts for all of us, right? When we're young and we the first time we have a ball at our foot, a ball in our hand, a golf club, a baseball bat, archery, whatever it is, you know, skiing, the first time you do it, it's about having a good time, having fun with your friends, and that's what unified sports is all about. I am very proud to announce that my girls' soccer team at Colchester will be a part of the top soccer program this year, which is it's got a bunch of different school and towns in it, but we're going to be a part of that this year. Our girls are going to be a part of coaching that, and I'm going to be a part of coaching that, so we're really excited about that. So, Dan, so what is the difference between, say, unified program and, say, the Special Olympics overall?
Special Olympics is generally an adult-based deal.
Yeah,
and it's kind of private. Unified sports is simply school-based.
Yep,
it's like I talked about earlier. It's the same sports that your typical mainstream athlete's going to play. It just looks a little different. It's under the auspices of Special Olympics. So they run it.
Mm-hmm.
They organize it, fundraise for it, all that stuff. But the school is actually the school does the day to day stuff. Last year, 2 years ago, CVU won our unified basketball championship, and then Brattleboro won last year. And it's
awesome.
Uniforms, announcers, refs, scoreboards, national anthem. The pledge, the oath, it's no different.
So how do people
different? It's amazing. The VPA, the Vermont Principal Association, it was kind of tough sledding getting that thing going, but now it's here and it's just.
How special is that? I had no idea that there was actually championships like this. I mean, that's something that should be out in the mainstream.
Right up at UVM.
More about that.
Happens right up at UVM.
I mean that's amazing stuff. So how do people now? So how do we follow this, Dan? So, I mean, does it start? Is it like every other sport? So, like, you know, in the fall, we'll have soccer programs?
Yeah, it starts in the fall. We start with soccer. Every season is, I believe, 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a weekly practice. Soccer in the fall. Then we go into bowling. Then basketball. And what am I missing?
Bocce.
Here? Floor hockey. Bocce's in the spring. Yeah. BFA
floor hockey, too.
Up at Collins early. We have the state tournament there, although UVM is going to start to do that next year. And it's you follow. You can – Dan Marlowe, who's
– one of the nicest men in the world.
He's probably the best AD he wrote the book on being an amazing AD. And he is – you have to have support of the teachers, the staff, and your administration. And he's just welcomed it with open arms, and you have to have that, otherwise it doesn't go anywhere like anything else. You know, no initiative is going to go anywhere without support from people who are actually going to be able to push the button, so to speak.
All right, so give us some contact information, people that we can get a hold of some people.
Rachel Ham Vaughn is the program services manager at Special Olympics Vermont. Her email address is rhamm@vtso.org. And her number is 802-861-0270. There is a gigantic amount of information on their website, SpecialOlympicsVermont.org. And if you want to, there's even a link where you can find a program. There's a unified sports tab. Find a program where you are. Put your zip code in. It'll tell you if one exists. And they usually start small. There may be just a few kids for one sport, and And then it just it's like
it snowballs.
Hey, it's, and then your friends talk, right? Word of mouth is the best advertiser in the world.
How do young, so let's say a young athlete wants to get involved, you know, wants to help out. Do they do the same thing? They just go to the website?
And... Well, they can. They absolutely can. And there's a link on there to be able to find how to get involved. And it's a very easily navigatable. Is that the word I'm trying to look for?
Well, for you, it's fine.
You know.
We have a castle in education, that's really good.
So we do the best we can with what we got. And it's super, anything you're going to want to find out is really on the site. And if there's enough people that want to do it at a school, then just talk to your administrator, talk to your AD.
Dan, this is very interesting stuff. And
vice principal, whatever.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming in. Before I let you go, though, I have to ask you, are you happy with your Nationals? You got picked up Howie Kendrick last night?
He's going to be a depth guy.
Yeah, a little depth guy. You know, for a team that's got everything.
You know, as soon as their bullpen's finally come together.
But, Strasburg, a little hurt?
He's always a little hurt. He'll come back. He'll be good.
World Series this year for the Nats?
Hoping.
And you're still going to root for your Bolts, even though your San Diego Chargers are now in Los Angeles.
Got it. Same franchise, just like when the Spos left in 2004.
You stick with them.
Same franchise.
Going to be the same thing. You were angry, though. You were angry.
Oh, yeah, I'm angry at the management. I can hate the management.
Right, right.
Still love the boys.
But you're all in for the Bolts. All right.
Red Wings, Chargers, Nats, baby, just like I tell my kids every night.
The Wings, too. You're a big Wings fan. Yeah, it's important.
Thankfully, something good in that mix.
But you're a Wings fan?
I mean, for him.
I don't have any. Like, the Expos were the closest regional sports team I ever liked. I'm in California. I'm in Michigan. I'm in, you know.
Yeah, he's all over
the
place.
I used to be a Laker fan growing up. Like, you know, I hated the Celtics. Still do. Isn't that weird to say in Vermont?
No,
I'm going to die when I walk out this room.
No, pretty much. No, that's not true.
But I got it.
That's not true.
I'm good.
You know, it's funny. The only Boston sports team that I think you can say that to about is the Celtics. Like, the Celtics are just, like, the cute team nowadays. Like, they don't – you know what I mean? Like, everyone's got patience for the Celtics. No other team in Boston anyone has any patience for. They're not going to be patient for the Red Sox. They're not going to be patient for the Bruins.
That's
they're not going to be patient
for the,
on the
totem
for the
Patriots.
That's what I'm saying. But it's crazy to me. The Celtics, you know, it's the Celtics. Yeah. It's a Celtics burn.
Okay.
Okay, Brent. Fine.
I'm proud. I'm proud that Jeff got into hockey finally. I'm very big into hockey. There's not many people in this world that can say that they honeymooned in Detroit.
No, only you.
Only me.
Only you.
I married an angel,
and you were excited.
Hell,
you
yeah.
did. You did marry.
It was
an
a pilgrimage
angel.
To the Joe. You kidding?
You did. You did marry an angel.
You did.
You did.
That's right.
Honeymoon in Detroit. Was it?
It was a hockey moon, baby.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to. You got to write a book on that one.
Yeah.
Because that, I would have no
I could write
shot.
A lot. I could write a lot in the book.
I can imagine if I pulled the, hey, Mon, for our honeymoon, let's go to, we'll go to the Bronx. Are you in for that? That's exactly what I hear. Dan McAndrews, thanks so much for taking the time, buddy.
For having
we really
me
appreciate
I hope you did
this.
Okay job.
Oh, you did a great
nervous
job.
Nervous about the whole thing.
Oh, don't be nervous. Did a great job. Listen, we're going to help you out with this too. Unified Sports. We'll get me all that information. We'll put that on our Facebook page and on our website. People can help you out, okay?
Thank you so much. Get involved in Unified. You'll love it. The most addictive thing you'll ever experience in your life.
Dan McAndrews.
One of
the most talented people I know. He's got terrible taste in sports teams. We'll be right back.
Red Sox and the Bruins. The Champlain Valley's 101.3 ESPN.
Hi, folks. Steve here at Shearer Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac. It's Red Sox season. That means it's time for you to get a home run deal on a new or used vehicle. At Shearer, we have the largest selection of new and used GM vehicles to choose from, so you're sure to find a vehicle you're gonna love and get a price that nobody can beat. Don't strike out shopping somewhere else. Step up to the plate at Shearer Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac, 1675 Shelburne Road, South Burlington, Vermont, or online at shearervt.com.
Hi, I'm Josh Laird.
And I'm Chris Wallace from Green City Garage. We just opened a brand new service and repair facility in South Burlington on Commerce Ave, just off Limekiln Road.
We pride ourselves on being an environmentally responsible garage, recycling or repurposing materials and waste as much as we can.
But first and foremost, we're a garage. We work on all makes and models, specializing in your family's car or truck.
Come be part of the Green City Garage family.
Green City Garage. Save some green. And of course, we're on Facebook.
651-9299.
That's 651-9299.
$91.92.99.
Are you planning a wedding? Top Hat Entertainment has special rates. Do you have a party that needs entertainment? Top Hat will take care of it for you. Because Top Hat is a yes company. They can do it all, whether you need a bounce inflatable, karaoke, trivia for your business, photo booths, and of course, DJs. There's something for everyone from Top Hat. Let Top Hat Entertainment help you plan your entire event. Just email them, info@tophatdj.com. That's info@tophatdj.com.
Using an overpriced trash bag?
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks?
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag?
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, now for a low, low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, with Arm & Hammer odor control, and they cost less than Glad, so you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Ultra strength, ultra savings, Hefty Ultra Strong, all for a low, low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Using Groupon, people can save up to a gazillion dollars a week. Not each of them, of course, but all of them combined. In reality, you can save up to $100 a week on what you do every day. Getting a haircut? Check Groupon. Need an oil change? Check Groupon. Now, we are in no way implying that you could save a gazillion dollars a week on nearby yoga classes, golfing, Italian restaurants, or resorts. However, use the top-rated Groupon app and save up to $100 a week on what you do every day. Download the app and save. Groupon.
Today, bullies aren't just in the hallways at school or on the playground. Now, cyberbullies can taunt your child with texts, posts, and videos any time of day through mobile devices and computers. If your child is being bullied, they may feel helpless, have difficulty sleeping, skip school, or even run away from home. Talk to your child about what they are going through and let them know they are not alone. For help, call the National Runaway Switchboard at 1-800-RUNAWAY or visit 1-800-RUNAWAY.org.
We're counting down to the start of the NFL season. 6 weeks until kickoff.
Aaron Donald and Odell Beckham Jr. were a part of the same draft class. They are two of the very best young players in the game at their respective positions. They've had two different strategies with dealing with wanting a new contract. Odell Beckham Jr. reported to camp. Aaron Donald officially a holdout.
Counting down to kickoff, presented by Indeed.com. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site.
This is The Right Time with Bomani Jones on ESPN Radio. Bomani.
Kyrie signed that mega extension on July 1st, 2014. 11 days later, or whatever it was, LeBron James was like, yo, I'm coming home, a.k.a. make room for daddy, a.k.a. get your hands off that big piece of chicken. It's mine.
The Right Time with Bomani Jones, weekdays from 4 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio or on the ESPN app.
Show.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Oh, I love it. Don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. Okay, stop. We got plenty.
We're going to keep Dan in here with us because he's a little
for
nervous.
For safety reasons.
Yeah, he's nervous. And I don't blame him. He wants to walk out with a guy like me to protect him a little bit. I understand
for all
that.
The Celtics fans
right.
out
he has
there
like
waiting.
Right, yeah, I get it. You know,
we're
going to protect
energy
him.
Energy on you, and then I can take him down with you.
Nothing changes. Nothing changes. You did have one more thing you wanted to mention.
Yeah, I totally forgot. So I wanted to mention that the three people at BFA who are the spearheads and the drivers of the unified sports engine at BFA are Bill Mercier, Kasia Bilodeau, and Jim Naylor, and they are three of the most amazing people on the planet, and they do everything they're doing. They do it really well, and they do it for the right stinking reason. They're pretty special people. So,
Dan, great segment, man. I'm glad you had a chance to mention. And one more time, give us how they get a hold of these of the contact information one more time.
Rachel Ham Vaughn at Special Olympics Vermont, R Ham, so it's RHAMM at VTSO.org, 861-0270. She's a program services manager, and you can just get a lot of information off the site or just contact her directly.
And thank you for that, because not enough information can be told about just what a great thing unified sports are. We love it, and it's awesome. And To change topic quickly, good luck today to the Colchester 9-10 baseball, Little League Baseball All-Star team. They win today. They win the state championship and move to Rhode Island Move on to Rhode Island next weekend. So go get them, boys.
Big weekend. Going to be beautiful, too. Be safe out there. I want to have a quick thanks to Tara Sullivan, Bergen Record. Talk some Yankees and Giants with her. Yankees are now in first place. Hey, Dave, what do you think about that, baby? All right, back in first place for the Yankees, Tara Sullivan joined us. Nice chalk talk with Giants legend Carl Banks. We got a great, I mean, after Bernie and I could stop, like, you know, stuttering over our words because we got to talk with Carl Banks today.
He was a Browns legend, too.
That's right. Yes. Well, I wouldn't use the word legend there.
I know.
Sorry, but, Calvin. Listen, he got some people to go to this games when they were in Cleveland. So, but anyway, great talk with him. Dan, honestly, great chat today. Dan
Thank
McAndrews
you so
here,
much.
Special educator, talking about Unified Sports. Guys, we are Sports
get
Saturday.
Get involved.
Yeah, get involved. Make sure if you need the contact info, reach out to us. We'll figure that out for you. Sports Saturday, we're here every Saturday from 10 to noon. We're on 101.3 ESPN at 101.3ESPN.com. Remember, you can get us online at 101.3ESPN.com and get the app, the 101.3 ESPN app. Bernie, you probably got that app, right?
No.
Well, you got a nice smartphone over there.
Thank you.
You know, stay tuned here today, guys. You can listen to your Sox and the Royals. This coverage starts tonight at 6:25. If you go to the Zone today, you can listen to the U.S. Cellular 250. I'm guessing that the Blitz is next, Dave. Is that what's up next?
Safety Blitz. Roddy
I hear they
Harrison.
Take a lot of less in that race.
Have a great weekend, everybody. We're living the dream and
Be
taking you with
somebody.
Us. Talk to you soon.